Cantrilippa's The Wild Party, mm-hmm. which I've always had an affinity for. Mm-hmm. And they needed someone to fill a role pretty last minute. We're about 3 weeks out now from the opening. Yeah. Anyway, I said yes to the dress. I went in apparently very steeled, according to Brian. And I was telling him the reason why I walked in.
Hot and bothered.
With a limp like an old school pimp, a real OG.
Yeah.
Is because I've earned my stripes in this town. And like doing a free production of fucking anything.
Oh, God.
I'm like, you got to sell me on it. And oh, boy, yeah. did they. This fun directing couple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
these
that's
two
good.
Queers.
Yeah.
Doing their best jazz squares for me while I was like, I'll consider it.
There's so many more queer people in the cast you haven't met yet. You're going to have
exciting.
A good time.
Oh, will yeah. I find my Prince Charming in this cast?
Honestly, I think Cinderella may have left her vape for you. That black vape. I don't want to say any names.
What do you mean?
So you know that black vape? I found that one right there
Cinderella?
In my car.
Is Cinderella?
It could be your Cinderella is what I'm saying.
Oh, like this guy specifically?
Yeah, this guy. This
As
guy.
I fucking mac on
I'm
this.
I'm curious. Yeah, you grabbed it, went straight. Do you taste him, Julian? Do you taste him?
No.
His name is Kyler. Taste Kyler, Julian.
Oh my God,
did
Kyler.
You, did he's you meet
in,
Kyler?
No, I haven't, but okay. He's in the play.
He is in the play.
I see.
Yeah. I gave him a ride. He left that behind. And the fact
you know
that,
what though, bitch? What? Once again, one of my gay friends has a crush on you and he intentionally left this in your car being like, oh, he's going to have to bring it back. Like,
wait, who?
Kyler.
Oh, yeah.
Purposely left this in your car.
No, he didn't. He's just
to
forgetful.
Like, you know, it's like when you like have a date, like you go back and then you're like, oh shit, I forgot my thing.
You know what though? We became fast friends. We drove to that investor show together, to and from Calabasas and just got to know each other along the way. Super cool dude. And then I don't always invite people readily in, especially when I'm exhausted, to be like, come smoke a bowl, come have a drink.
But both know that's not true with your Libra ass moon. There's so many times where I'm like, great, just one-on-one today, Brian. And then yeah. I walk in and it's like, hey, meet Jonathan, Jones, Billy. I'm like,
no,
who the fuck are these people?
Okay, let's just say on this day I was very much at my limit and at my tolerance level and exhausted. And I was so eager to just crash when I got home. But I liked Kyler so much that I was like, come smoke a bowl, dude.
Oh
yeah, yeah, and then after we vibed more, I was like, "Do you want a whiskey?" And then it just like kept going. From
you ever
there,
watch so. Porn?
I got this cable where I could just like hook it up from my computer to the TV, and yeah. So,
well, I can't wait to meet him.
Yeah,
can't wait to meet the cast.
Lots of hymns,
and we'll plug the show at the end. Yeah. But in case you're sitting there ready with a pen and a paper,
are you ready, listener?
Or have your notes app open, yeah. Like a classic multitasker.
Mm-hmm.
It is the 24th to the 27th at 8 p.m.
Yes, at the Jax Theater.
At the Jax Theater in East Hollywood. That's Jax with two X's.
Yeah, J-A-X-X. You'll see it right on Santa Monica and the 101, baby. And we'll have more news on that, but let's go ahead and introduce ourselves.
Yeah, that may be two Jax. That may be Jax with two X's, but this is a podcast with two cousins.
Yeah, that's you threaded the needle there. I'm Brian Bogart.
And I'm Julian Goza.
We're the Guantanamo Bay's podcast,
A Cuban Cousin Kiki.
Hello, listener. Hello, darkness, my old friend.
And hello, Brian.
Hey, Julian.
We just scarfed down those poke bowls with very little said. It was such a boy dinner.
It was
just
very...
Just two guys crouched around the campfire.
Pounding out some poke.
Pounding out some poke. That old Western trope.
Yeah. Just going over what news stories we care to talk about today.
I had my news stories.
We'll get there.
I had them in my pocket.
Oh, really?
I had them in my back pocket, metaphorically speaking.
Okay. I thought you were going to pull out maybe some kind of list or parchment.
Parchment?
It's been a while since I've seen parchment in the wild.
I mean,
but
I got
if
nice...
anyone would have it, it's you.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I do love nice stationery.
Yeah, yeah. Your stationery, calligraphy, you know, like... You respect it. You respect the presentation. You respect decorum.
Well, Brian, I'll tell you, they're endangered art forms.
Yeah.
I worry about the death of cursive. I worry about it.
Wasn't it recently reinstituted in schools? Because they...
Cool.
I think... I don't know if it's all, but...
Who needs challenging literature when you're learning cursive?
Well, it's kind of stupid that legally, if you print your name on a document, it doesn't count as a... legally binding documents. So you technically need to know cursive to make a legally binding agreement.
That feels like the gay agenda. That's why compared to like, you know, gay literature in elementary school.
Patton Oswalt has a great bit where he's just like, so you got to take your name and make it go, ooh, and now it's legally binding.
I remember that aha moment like years after I learned cursive where I was like, wait, most of these are like based off print letters and I'm just connecting them.
Yeah, exactly.
I never like put that together.
No, that's why it wasn't that difficult, I thought. That's why I was like, really, you're eliminating cursive? That wasn't like...
I don't think I've ever seen your cursive.
I'm not saying it's great. My handwriting in general is not great, but I know the letters at least.
My cursive is astoundingly beautiful. It's true.
I don't doubt
it. It's true. People in my class like will look at my notebook and be like, oh my God, Julian. And I'll just flip through it.
You're a great writer. And of course, you're good at writing stuff. But I mean, you are a literally great penmanship. Like you write a ton in your planner. You just have a ton of practice with writing. Like you're a very active physical writer, which is a rare quality these days.
Thank you.
I'm a very active typer. I'm always... typing on my stand up. No, I know, but I mean, like, I write a ton of notes. I keep a calendar, but it's never, rarely, if ever, pen to paper. I only do pen to paper to write out sets that I might bring on stage.
Oh, pen to paper is so powerful. Mm-hmm. It really just fires certain synapses that I don't think a computer keyboard does.
That's why I like it to write out sets because it's more tactile, but I wonder if I wrote out more bits holistically like that.
Interestingly, if I write a card to someone, I will first type out the message in my notes. Because I hate crossing words out.
Oh, totally. That just looks sloppy.
And because I'm a lefty, sometimes it takes me a long time if the ink is like too wet from the pen, because then my hand will smudge it. So I have to like write a phrase, wait, write a phrase. So if you get a card from me, just know it's very laborious.
Can I ask, have you ever faced any stigma for being left-handed?
No.
Okay.
No, if anything, I felt like the eunuch of the village.
That doesn't feel ostracizing?
I don't know. I felt like I was worth mythologizing or something.
Even as just left-handed, not your other queer qualities about you, just the left-handed part of you?
Well, and especially now, specifically my left hand. It's like there are more
That's gay, way more interesting
there are more
than
gay
being
people
gay
in LA yeah. than there are left-handed people
that
in LA.
That is so true. But knowing that 100 years ago, a teacher would have hit you with a switch until you wrote with the right hand because the left was the devil's hand. Gosh. Has that ever registered in your mind? And since...
Well, I know the history of all that, but like I've never tried to fathom what that would feel like to be hit into submission. Why would I do that? I'm an actor. You're going to have to pay me to do that.
I'm an actor and a sub.
I could go there, but I won't do it freely.
Yeah. Have you ever, you know... being out and proud and queer, have you ever been like, oh my God, it is the devil's hand. They were right.
Like
your left hand informed your queerness?
No.
Okay, so no. It didn't shoot
down.
It's
my gay ass penis. And my voracious mouth.
You're like, and the hand's part of it, but it's not driving all the
yeah,
decisions
absolutely
is what you're
not.
Saying.
Absolutely not.
Well, that's fun.
You know who was beat into submission into being ambidextrous was my grandfather, your great uncle, I suppose, Padrino.
Wow. Oh my God. What a talented man.
He was born left-handed.
Yeah. And became and they beat him into becoming a doctor in two languages. I mean, that's impressive.
Well, that was his own decision.
That was.
But I don't think choosing his right hand over his left was his own decision.
No, that one was not.
And you know what? It would have really helped me as someone that was ostracized by him for being gay, for him to be like, wait, I really was born kind of unusually. You know, it's like, yeah, dude, it happens.
That would have been a cute way. But this is the thing. He's like, but they beat it out of me, so I know I can do it out of you, too. That would have been a cute thing to like relate to him with.
He's like, I love being right-handed. It's like, you're crying.
But you know, you're gritting your teeth. A single tear just rolled down your face. I love that man to death. And I know it's sad. We don't have to even talk, you know, bring this part up on the pod, but just like that you still feel like some unfinished business with, you know, between y'all as far as his attitudes towards homosexuality.
I know. I shared that with my dad and he was like, I wish you didn't. And I'm like, well, I do. Doesn't mean I love him less. Mm-hmm. But he was one of those people that shaped me because what he wanted for me was at odds with what I wanted and could have for myself.
There's like a built-in rejection, even if he's not outright rejecting you. He's like kind of rejecting the
idea
of what you
might. Yeah, and trying to get me to reject myself.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'm all for like being part of the community and stuff, but like, there is that streak of individualism where it's like, dude, like, what's the alternative here? Like, me being in a loveless marriage with a woman that I'm not fucking.
You know? And maybe
like, if that sounds awful,
maybe if Padrino could more fathom what was on the horizon, because he only grew up in the mainstream attitudes of the 20th century, which was like, he knew gay people who were married to women over the decades, like, and he knew and they knew, and that was what. So well, maybe he even just thought
we're friends with a gay couple that would like go to their their Republican fundraisers and stuff, you know. Yeah.
I guess we never talked about this, but politically, do they always vote? Yeah, they always vote a Republican.
Very much so. Funny. And my mom was like,
"Your mom never did, though."
No.
Yeah, she's always been a staunch.
But my mom was like, "I don't think they would have voted for Trump had they still been alive to see it." And I was like, "Girl, like, they watched Fox News like it was their job."
Yeah, that Fox News would have talked him into it, as they talked everyone into it in that election cycle.
I'll be curious to see how it goes this year.
Yeah.
Because they're not as aligned with El Trompe.
Quien?
Fox News.
Oh, Fox News. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Now that it's the younger Murdochs at the helm, I know they're like more centrist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
more centrist. Less fucking hysterical is what I mean by that.
No, Trump lost his goodwill with Fox News when he started trying to overturn the election. That was when they kind of like had their line in the sand moment.
Ugh. Yeah. Well, I wonder how this will inform our relationship with Cuba, because it's popping off over there.
Cuba, just in the last couple weeks, has established ties with South Korea. We talked about this last week. That's pretty crazy direction for Cuba.
And if you're new to this pod, you need to understand, we are so pro a globalized Cuba. It needs to happen. America has siphoned off resources from them. The government has siphoned off resources from their own people.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to fucking pump some blood into this corpse
is new blood.
Is new blood.
Mm-hmm. And capital.
And capital, which brings us to this week's story about Cuba.
Is it your story that you want to present? The one you have in your metaphorical back pocket?
No, the ones I have in my metaphorical back pocket are not Cuba related.
Okay. Is it the one that I had?
Yeah. The
Airbnb one? Okay, fair enough. So let's dissect one of the news stories from Cuba.
Sorry, I totally caught you with your dick in your hand. You're like, oh.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, and Julian with the story. Here's what's happening. Airbnb is sued in Florida for listing a property in Cuba that was confiscated by Castro. So technically the government owns it, but Airbnb was listing it for whatever reason. So a Florida physician is suing Airbnb, claiming the company unlawfully profited from listing a property that Fidel Castro's government confiscated without paying compensation to his family decades ago. This Florida physician's an expat from Cuba. Castro confiscated his home, and Airbnb listed that as a property. So he's saying,
how did Airbnb get access to the house?
There must be some trickle of Airbnb's presence in Cuba. So Airbnb has a team dedicated to
the Cuban market?
Integrating with
Latin American markets.
Sure. And just like in general, integrating with whatever that government system is, whatever their internet system is, their economic system.
So they were working with the government.
They'd have to.
That's crazy.
They'd have to.
Isn't Airbnb an American company?
Yeah.
So American companies could interact with the government.
Yeah, there's some provisional.
Because like, how is that not part of the embargo? No Idaho potatoes, but here's a fucking rental.
This might be more of an example of, and I'm sure that there's a lot of fine print that goes into all this, but this might also be an example of, we're kind of dipping our toe here with it. I don't know how long they've been acting in Cuba, but they're listing a house that Castro confiscated, right? So they're there. So maybe there was some footsie being played between like some American companies and Cuba. We've seen Cuba send business leaders to America for the first time. Cuba's now opening relationships with a very capitalistic country in South Korea. So this is the fact that Airbnb has a presence in Cuba for this expat to sue is enough of a story as far as I'm concerned.
Totally. But of all the companies that I would want to have access to Cuba, that ain't one of them.
No, I totally agree.
I speak to you in a city that's completely strapped for proper housing, yeah. much less homes.
No, I hate the company Airbnb, and I
very rarely do I actually benefit from the exploitation that's involved for them to thrive.
Yeah, yeah. Even though we found some nice homes in Palm Springs for your birthday, you know, before.
One in the hills a few weeks
ago. It's not worth the total hellscape that the real estate market has become.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because these guys, you know, they're snatching up 6-7 properties, you know, barely decorated. Why am I looking at a photo of the Eiffel Tower?
Yeah,
when I'm in Sedona, Arizona.
Yeah, overlooking the Arizona skyline.
Like, I'm sorry, that ain't it.
Honey. It is kind of funny how similar the decor is in a lot of places, but
because it's cheap. Mm-hmm. It's the same reason they make like glass buildings now. It's just a cheap alternative.
Yeah, yeah. So these are some hot real estate takes to go with some hot.
That's what I will lament when Cuba's more open, is that it'll just be replaced. All that like old gorgeous furniture.
It's kind of funny how like now
will be replaced by IKEA.
Now you just like flip the script, the hood, and you're like, open it up. We need IKEA, and then you're just like, oh, but you know.
But aesthetically, it'll be kind of ruined.
I know, but Cuba's been taking it on the chin in the name of aesthetics for 60 years now.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't just aesthetics, but...
No, not just aesthetics, but...
But those berets played a big part of it, I hear you.
From a tourism standpoint, or from, like, honestly, like, a worldview standpoint of, like, what does Cuba bring to the world? Old cars. That's, like, what everyone's gonna... That's what everyone would say, you know? So, thankfully, that, I guess, won't just be the case anymore. And yeah. I think that car culture, even... God forbid Cuba gets cars from the 21st century, and then... I'm sure that car culture will never leave the island because it was part of its history for like 100 fucking years at this point.
It'll be like LA. It'll just be like Mexican cholos like driving down in like old Eldorados.
Yeah, there's still lowriders out there. You know, there's still Caminos out there that are fucking rocking it. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of Cadillacs still rocking in Cuba.
Well, I know you've talked about wanting to get a house. You better do it before Airbnb. Before some Airbnb
Fuck
aficionado
them.
Who has like 12 properties buys it.
Literally, my dream is if apparently Americans can buy property in Cuba with a former citizen, which our cousin who immigrated here, Hanoi, 10, 15 years ago. And now he's selling real estate apparently in Cuba. And if I buy property, I'm not really looking to make it a profit center. Like my dream is to
close the karmic circle.
To some
close
degree.
The circle of our karmic lineage.
You could, you know, if I buy a property, I'm not looking to live in Cuba. I'm not looking to like make an Airbnb out of it. Ideally, I'd want something that I'd like to have competent people kind of just run it as a clubhouse, an organ, you know, a place where the town can commune to and, you know, run on donations and stuff
cool.
like that. You know,
yeah, like so. A theater.
Yeah, something just inject some art.
It'd be like the Weimar Republic up in this bitch. Come to,
you know, so that's, if that's possible, why not?
I've also had I do think about going back to kind of close this karmic circle of sorts. Mm-hmm. And I've always had this vision, because who the fuck knows which countries are going to be stable and which aren't in 60 years mm-hmm. when I'm a 93.
It almost always completely flips, you know?
Totally. And so who knows? I think it'd be kind of cool if like. I could end up there in a way that makes sense and is feasible. And, you know, one of my favorite porn stars has dual citizenship and will spend time in Cuba. And then he goes back to Miami and then spends time in Cuba.
Oh, he's your favorite porn star is a dual Cuban citizen.
Yeah. One of my favorite porn stars.
That's cool.
Who is yeah. It? I'm seldom superlative.
Who
with
is
my
it?
Porn
I mean,
stars.
I'm sure people like really want to know.
My mom will definitely Google him. His name's Pablo Hernandez.
That's a pretty straightforward name, too. It's not.
Yeah, yeah. He's definitely like a gay influencer.
No puns. We saw a gay porn star that you liked.
I mentioned
person,
that on
right?
an episode.
Yeah.
His name was Drew Valentino. Drew. Drew, if you're listening.
We made eye contact in front of Tracteer in West Hollywood. It was magical.
It's like a Craigslist classified or whatever.
Misconnections. You're that porn star, Drew.
In fact, recently I was looking at porn and Drew popped up and I was like, oh my God, I saw you.
Yeah, that's funny. That's cute. One time I did an event. This was a weird story. I did an event for Zappos, the shoe company. acting as like a brand ambassador. And there was one of my fellow brand ambassadors. He keeps referring to like his side job that he has. And then he just kind of like, he clearly wants to talk about it. And he's like, oh yeah, I do porn too. And then lo and behold, like, and, you know, we got along that day. Also on that same event, I saw my ex-girlfriend with her husband, the one who was on the reality show, who like threatened suicide and said it'd be my fault. So it was like weird to have all those things converge on each other.
How long ago did he meet this guy?
This was 2016.
So he must have been one of the first porn stars in Austin.
Well, he doesn't, I don't think he's based out of Austin. I think he just kind of travels and stuff. His wife dances. And then lo and behold, I saw him in everything. I still see him in a bunch of stuff.
I went to this party that was
Peter Green.
Peter Green.
Peter Green. Take a bow. Nice guy. Nice guy.
I went to a party that was populated like almost exclusively by like alternative OnlyFans models. You're talking like obese women, little people. It was just such a mixed bag. Like one guy who will fuck anything that's alive, I guess, is his
MO.
Is his MO. It was just so strange. It's always odd to meet a porn star. My friend Jose Pablo went on a date with a porn star.
Wow. This would have been a while ago because
this was a while
ago. He's been locked down a minute.
He'd been locked down. But
sorry, guys. Sorry, gays.
Sorry, gays. Jose Pablo's taken. Where are you going, trooper?
Oh, I was just moving around. Don't worry.
Just readjusting that ass.
Keep talking. Yeah, my knee hurts.
Yeah. Your knee hurts and this Airbnb deal is going to hurt.
So Jose Pablo went on a date with the porn star. Is there anything else that was to that story?
I mean, there's nothing else worth mentioning. We were just talking about, I don't know how much of that he wants me to say, but but I think it stayed pretty.
Does he listen? Does Jose Pablo listen to you?
No, life? Fuck okay. No. That's why he's my best friend.
Yeah, exactly. The people closest in my life.
I'm learning a lot about my attachment style, which is ambivalent attachment style. So like, you know,
Jose Pablo's
I come as to, well. To quote Bug's Life. They come, they eat, they leave. They come, they eat, they leave.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And he's similar. I think that's why our relationship has lasted so long as best friends is like we're constantly in the honeymoon phase because we don't live in the same place. There have been times where I'm like, what's to stop me from moving to the same town as my best friend in the whole wide world? And then I'm like, oh, yeah, we'd fucking hate each other in a month.
Yeah.
Fair. And so I do think similarly, like me moving and having regret about that, I think Cuba would have regret about Airbnb.
Wow, you really brought it back like that. Amazing.
I know you like when I chase the shiny object, Brian, but I like to also come back to center.
You know what, Cuba, if you got to dip your toe into capitalism, we're here to help, baby, but we'll find you better companies to work with than Airbnb, okay?
Seriously.
Yeah, there's better alternatives. Although we understand.
We're going to open a podcast studio.
You got to do what you can. Yeah, exactly.
Community do they have center. Tax write-offs in Cuba?
Community Center 2024.
Wait, that's an actual question I have all of a sudden.
I mean, I don't know.
If you have an LLC...
I don't know the tax codes in Cuba or like what international real estate ownership.
You don't need
is
to
like.
Blush about it. I don't think that's like a fault of yours that you don't know that off the
top
of
your
head.
No, I'm just saying like I couldn't tell you. Like right, you're asking that. I'm like, I have no idea, dude. That's literally just what
well,
I'm
Well, TBD.
We're going to get back to you on
those
tax
codes. Keep listening, guys, because
in
one of these episodes.
We're going to break down the Cuba real estate market real, real comprehensively.
Well, let's cross the Caribbean. Let's go to our Miami news story.
Okay. Is this... You is this your news story?
This is my news story.
Okay, yay! This is
if
one
if you
want to
go for a walk, light a cigarette.
I'm taking a sip of wine while you pull this bad boy up. This is Julian's news from the motherland.
Well, adjacent news from the motherland, adjacent because this involves Miami, not Cuba. So Miami has a new ad campaign that they rolled out, and you know what? Fuck it. I'm just gonna play it into the mic.
Checking out a new restaurant.
You just want to get drunk in public and ignore laws.
Do you even remember what happened last March? That was our breaking point, so we're breaking up with you.
And don't try to apologize and come crawling back. This isn't safe, so we're done.
What happened last March? Was that the building that collapsed?
No, I think it was something to do with, like, cops and...
Oh,
I don't know.
Probably just like spring break.
Probably another fucking shooting. Just, but anyway, they addressed this campaign to spring breakers, saying, "Hey, we're not gonna allow this anymore. Like, there's gonna be a ton of checkpoints, like random searches and stuff."
Right. This is so the post-COVID, like, Republican diaspora that ended up in Florida.
I don't think it's so much ideological as it is that they're just rich. Like, Miami's so wealthy
now. Rich is an ideology, Julian.
Well, okay, Jordan David, but like my point is,
I'm just saying.
I wouldn't say it's as clear cut as saying it's an ideology. I think it informs ideology, but we're getting in the weeds here. I don't need to go there.
But the tone of that commercial is what is how that I took that in a way. The tone of
Well, what's funny is there's like a bunch of diversity casting going on, like all this like DEI.
Yeah,
shit.
Yeah, I gotcha.
I hate the condescending breakup tone.
Exactly, like, it's so condescending.
It's so condescending, yeah. And I guess that's the whole point. It's like we're breaking up with spring break
because you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah,
they're literally looking
and
at
like
you in
I'm
the
not
face.
Pro buffing up the police state,
right,
even though I did vote for Ethan Weaver and he is going to be in the runoffs in November. We don't need to get into how I'm a law and order kind of guy these days.
No,
but the tone was condescending, and for me it's more because Florida's been Republican for a minute. Mayor reminds you of the 2000 election with hanging
redder.
Chads and Catherine Harris and all that shit.
It's gotten redder and redder in the last few election cycles.
Too. Yeah, but I don't think it's frankly no more red than it used to be. It's just that now they're actually in office. You know, like before it was more like the McCain school of conservative.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas now, of course, it's like fucking goblins.
But now it's like they had their own. The irony, too, that like that. The swing happened and you know with the Ron DeSantis kind of being the anti-COVID, you know, Republican crusader of sorts, and so it's like they were having their spring break. Well, like they showed up in 2020 like it was a giant spring break and they haven't left, and now they're saying like don't come here. That's just kind of funny to me.
Well, you kind of just said it. Like I think the more conservative approach would be like come stimulate our economy, spread diseases. You know,
mm-hmm. But that just shows you how much they don't need the money.
That's my point. It's not that they're Republican. It's that it's just such a rich community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I my house is behind a gate. You know, I don't need the money you spend at a fucking local
on Dixie cups
gas station. Yeah. Yeah. And like if anything
or not Dixie cups, Solo cups. There's my brain being gay again. I meant to say Solo cups and my brain was like Dixie cups.
But Dixie comes so easily.
And they have cartoon characters on them.
And the irony too that they're doing this very diverse casting when the people who'd be receiving the money would be probably like local gas station owners or like local, you know, shop owners who are probably a lot of them immigrants and stuff like that. So the fact that they're like, we don't need you. And like, who knows what the overall cultural attitude of Miami is? Who knows how much of that commercial is representative of the whole population? As someone who's from Austin, I understand the notion of like, whoa, all these people coming to my city and stuff like that. But I don't know. If Austin kind of put out something like that, I'd feel a little grossed out because it's so rude.
Yeah.
And elitist.
And
it comes
like
off as pretty elitist. Yeah.
It looks like a corporate video as fuck.
Yeah. Imagine getting the audition and it's like a PSA, and then when you show up on the day it's like fuck you spring breakers, and you're just like, so do I say that to the camera? Or like,
I've definitely had jobs like that. Remember when I did a textbook commercial for Erdogan?
No, you did it for the even scarier alternative to Erdogan, which is Fethullah Gulen, who
Fethullah Gulen, honey,
who's a religious fanatic.
Welcome to the stage.
Yeah. He's a religious fanatic that the U.S. Holds on asylum in Pennsylvania.
Mm.
And Erdogan doesn't.
Well, not that they're the gold standard, but you know how I think Europe would have done this messaging?
How would they have done it?
Because you know me.
Auf Wiedersehen.
No. They would have been like, just so you know. At least like the Scandinavian countries would have been like, just so you know, there's going to be more checkpoints. Like they would have just been like, hey, we're buffing up security.
We are.
Not don't come.
Yeah.
That's just rude.
They'd be like, we are a welcoming people, but at the end of the day, you have to respect our laws and our community.
Yeah, exactly. And Florida has the fucking added factor of guns all the fucking time. Whereas, like, I went to a music festival in Spain.
Yeah.
And they barely looked through our bags because they weren't looking for drugs the way a festival. I love how all of a sudden I just totally, like, pivoted to, like,
festivals and rolling your balls off. Yeah,
well, like,
but they're
America,
looking for weapons.
God forbid you have a pill on you. Yeah, but in Spain they're like, we'll know if you have a gun on you, you know.
You went to pill. You're like, God forbid you have like some bars and some Xannies. Like, I'm like, you could have said like weed or something.
I don't have a Xanny connect. If anyone's listening that does,
he lamented. Ay, ay, ay.
So we're not going to Miami this year. That's decided.
I mean, yeah.
This Winnie the Pooh wants to go to Palm Springs again. She is calling. Around this time of year, I just want to go. And you know what? I will stay in an Airbnb. That's probably owned by a Cuban expat. But I guess here it wouldn't matter because it's not... Anyway. Sorry. Now I'm the one just talking out of my ass.
Any more you'd like to share before we move into...
But I think you were able to follow that word salad.
Yeah.
It just didn't make sense.
No, but it made sense in a way that made perfect sense to me. Because I know you. And I think a lot of our listeners who know Julian will know
exactly. And if you don't, doesn't it give you an incentive to? Don't you want to understand me more? The only way to do that is to listen.
Okay, well then here is our segue into the segment where we understand Julian more, the world according to Jules.
That's the kind of world I want to live in.
I read Julian a silly headline. He gives me his unfiltered response. No thought goes into this. Are you ready, Julian?
I am ready.
All right, from your brain to your mouth. Red panda found in the luggage at a Bangkok airport. Your thoughts?
I love red pandas. And talk about something that I'd love to take to a music festival in Spain. If I could fit a red panda in my little REI 60 liter, whatever the unit is.
For 60 liters a lot.
Okay, 60 liter. Could it fit a red panda? Either way, I'm not going to try it. Because I likely have other things in the bag, but great way to dox myself the next time I go through airport security. But I love red pandas, and I'm so glad he gets to see Singapore. If not me, then let it be a beautiful creature.
Okay, and I guess something to keep in mind is that Bangkok is in Thailand, not Singapore.
Oh.
But the spirit of what you said rings.
I true. Still would love to go to Bangkok. I'd probably prefer to go to Bangkok than Singapore.
Great. True. Yeah, yeah. Bangkok, you could at least...
Talk about a place you can't have a joint.
Yes.
Singapore.
They will execute you. I'm not even being hyperbolic.
You will get AIDS and die.
Here's like...
Just kidding. There's no AIDS in Singapore. They cleaned it up.
With the firing squads,
they
probably.
They sent them all to West Hollywood. Yeah.
I don't know. They sent them somewhere.
They sent them somewhere. And Gulag. I was one of them.
Yeah.
What do you call a Mariel refugee that's from, I don't know.
From where?
The place we were just talking about that I forgot.
Mariel refugee from Bangkok?
Yeah.
I don't know. A Bangkokalista?
A banger?
A Bangalista?
A banger and smash? I don't know. Bangalista. That's cute.
I like Bangalista. It sounds a little bit like Benghazi, though, so.
Never forget.
Never forget.
Those damn emails. Never forget those damn emails. It's an election year, guys, and more than anything, we don't want you to forget those emails that came out 16 years ago.
So, and the red panda, for context, and I'm glad that they found him because six Indian nationals were arrested for attempting to smuggle the red panda and dozens of other animals out of the country. And
this always happens with these news stories where I'm like, oh my God, I'm so pro this. And then you're like, so they sewed heroin into his body. I'm like, well, fuck.
No, but we just love red pandas. And we've even talked about this recently.
But I don't like contraband red pandas, bitch. And that's why I don't have one.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But it's fun to think about having a little red panda
contraband
buddy.
Animals are a no-go for me.
No, that's... Yeah, it's so unethical.
So unethical.
Yeah.
Kirstie Alley was selling her house in Los Feliz. And I saw, like, aerial photos of it. Cause it's a huge property.
Didn't
like,
she pass?
She did.
Yeah.
So I guess it's her estate or something. Right. I don't know. But... she had like a huge zoo area.
Wow.
Which like she
damn, Cheers money, bitch.
Shit. I guess.
And she wasn't even in all of Cheers.
And she was on that sitcom.
Fat Actress?
No. Like a multicam sitcom in the 90s.
Mm. Oh, in before Cheers or like.
No. After Cheers.
Not just Shoot.
But before. But it was like that. It was like Spin City.
Was it Spin City?
It wasn't. But like it was one of those. Yeah. Oh, Veronica's Closet.
Veronica's Closet.
Can't even say that with a straight face. I'm like, no one knows Veronica's Closet.
No, they don't. But it was there.
But it was there.
And it was syndicated, I guess.
But anyway, I just thought it was odd that she had a zoo. Because that's the alternative, right? Like, okay, so you get these illegal animals. Then you looking crazy. You know who else had a zoo? Michael Jackson.
No, because you think of zoo, you go straight to Michael Jackson.
Oh, like, I'm thinking of Bubbles in like a band. In a band leader
jacket. In a band outfit, yeah. And you're like, well, of course Michael Jackson has the money for it, but do I think of Kirstie Alley in the same like category financially as Michael Jackson?
Yeah, not quite, they're not playing Cheers reruns at weddings right now.
But Michael Jackson's made more money now as a dead person than a live person.
Really?
His family was in a bad financial situation. Then after he died, they're doing better now.
Yeah.
Yeah, sad to say. But shit happens.
Well, at some point, I'll be able to talk a little more about Michael. I can't, because then it'd be in violation of my union.
Shut the fuck up.
I know.
Okay.
Ryan, I'm not in SAG anymore.
Okay. Are you ready for your final story, which is an animal story with no downsides, I would say.
Okay, cool. No two animal stories?
Yeah.
Beast Night.
Here's your headline, and then we're going to have to go to Dune soon. Dune 2. All right. Humpback.
Wait, you know we're not going to Dune 2, right?
Where are we going?
Problemista.
Oh, my bad. Okay, that's fine.
You knew that, right?
I totally forgot, actually.
Oh, my God, Brian. No, we're going to Problemista. Although I would rewatch Dune 2 with you. I'm happy about
that. Yeah,
at some point.
Okay.
What's the second headline? And Problemista, by the way, we're going to talk about at some point.
Yes, we will.
Because it's an immigration story. And that's our story. Okay, go.
Humpback sex photographed for the first time, and both whales were male. Your thoughts?
This is the headline you said I would love. The idea of a whale penis, though, which of course is my immediate thought, is so scary.
But I'm sure it makes sense for the whales.
Well, yeah, I understand that. But if you're asking me if this is making me excitable, it's not. It's making me emboldened. It's making me want to fight for civil rights for all the species. Mm-hmm. And I want to know what the scientist's reaction was. But if I was there, I would have taken a photo and I would have sent it to the Smithsonian and I would have said, title this, Love.
Time.
You know, considering how much potential that one had, I really didn't stick the landing. But you know what? How can you every time? Here at The World According to Jules, sometimes I don't stick the landing. Sometimes I just keep floating.
No further questions? No, actually,
I love whales.
I think you did nail the ethos of like what I wanted you to get, which is, I think what everyone gets, which is, how can we criminalize something that literally happens in nature? How can you call homosexuality unnatural?
All the time.
Yeah, it's just... And, like, people are mad about this. Why are you mad about whales fucking?
100%. I was watching this wonderful series on the Criterion Channel by Isabella Rossellini.
Mm-hmm. Legend.
Who, beyond being beautiful and a really gifted actress, is super smart. And she loves animals. And Green Porno is super short little clips, like 2 minutes a piece, that she initially did for YouTube, where she talks about the sex lives of different insects, how...
She's the perfect person to deliver that message.
And it's all
in like, her perfect accent.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, shit. I can't find the specific animal, but they're essentially like mollusks that stack on top of each other, and whichever one is on the bottom is the female. And all the men, like, secrete their fluid down into the bottom one.
They princess and the pee her. Like,
they princess and the pee her. And then once she has the baby, she dies. And the next one in the stack becomes the female.
Whoa.
I know.
Mollusks have fascinated me and continue to because I eat a lot of them.
They're wild.
And I ask Hong all the time because, you know, she loves seafood and meat. And I mean, I do too. But I'm always like... Do you think mollusks feel like, you know, clams, oysters?
What do you mean, like feel like fear and stuff?
Anything like physical sensation?
Oh, they have emotional? To. They definitely feel physical sensation.
What about emotion? Yeah, I guess they have nerves. Of course, they have nerves. But what about emotions?
Oh, they're called limpets. What I'm thinking of.
Okay, not a mollusk. Are they similar?
No, they are.
Okay, there's
a mollusk.
Oh,
is...
that a limpet is a type of mollusk.
A limpet. Here, I'm just gonna Google this shit. But what were you saying before I got off on limpets?
Just, I don't know if mollusks feel emotions.
Hard to say. But they are aquatic snails. So they're mollusks. It's like an S card.
And what the fuck is a snail?
I know, dude. We don't have time. We don't have time.
You simply
to
don't
me,
have
snails
the
are inherently more sexual than whales.
Because
they leave that snail trail.
That snail trail.
I even see it.
It's like, you know, they're fucking everything that they're touching all the time. just
a little bit.
They're always coming, ever coming.
Yeah, I have much more of a mixed physical response to snails than whales. Whereas whales, I'm like, do not fucking kill me with your giant
giant whale dick.
With your giant whale dick.
Whales don't really kill people unless they're holding them captive.
Yeah. Apparently, a lot of dolphins are gay too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so interesting. They're just so many different variations of like the nucleus and like the family nucleus. I mean, you know, sometimes like some animals are polyamorous or polyandrous, or it's just so interesting
how many variations exist in nature. Not many, but some are. It's just kind of funny how they all have their different.
And I don't doubt that there was like a value to like marriage between a man and a woman for a long time.
It was the most stable way to make sure everyone got fed.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all it was.
Exactly. And now that it's just kind of more globalized for better and for worse, like, you know,
it's like
you could actually be gay now.
You could be pan thruple.
You could order delivery on your phone and you could be gay.
Yeah. A sentence you couldn't have said as recently as 10 years ago.
That's so true.
It's been a long time coming.
What song is that?
But I know, change gonna come.
Sam Cooke can't be singing slave hymnals, Brian.
Whoa, Sam Cooke wasn't a slave, John.
I'm just being such an idiotic bitch.
I know.
Anyway, that was fun.
It is a civil rights hymn of sorts.
Perfect for whales that are going to become civil rights champions.
That's why I stand by it.
Yeah.
So that was The World According to Jules.
They're like, where were you the day that... that Wally and Wheezy got married. And you're like, the gay whales? I'll never forget it. I was at the airport at a bar and they were streaming it on CNN.
I noticed you didn't post about the whales. You know, are you homophobic?
Brian, your silence on the whale marriage speaks volumes.
Yeah. People were definitely mad if you didn't post when Caitlyn Jenner transitioned. I remember that.
Wait, really? God, that's weird. Because she's no ally. But
the irony.
Let's talk about someone that is an ally.
Yeah, go ahead.
And looms over gay culture now.
Who?
RuPaul.
I somehow knew you were going to say RuPaul.
RuPaul Charles.
Yeah.
So in response to all of these books being banned.
Wait, so is this your gay item of the week?
Yeah.
So it's your gay item of the week. RuPaul. The RuPaul edition.
The RuPaul edition. It's always the RuPaul
edition. It's more often than not the RuPaul edition.
But he has a new online bookstore. Mm-hmm. And that bookstore came under fire for selling Mein Kampf.
I was about to... somehow I knew Mein Kampf was involved. I just don't know.
And like other titles by right-wing extremists, anti-LGBTQ titles.
Mm-hmm. At RuPaul's bookstore.
At RuPaul's online bookstore.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think it's brilliant.
That RuPaul would sell Mein Kampf?
Yeah.
Why?
Because he's showing them that no book, if it's been published, should be banned.
Mm-hmm.
Punto motherfucking fiend. And I know you agree, because this is a pro-First Amendment podcast, much to the chagrin of all of our trans friends. Well, my trans friends. You have maybe half of one.
what does that even mean? I got, a lot of
I've got like four
trans comedian friends and acquaintances, mostly comedians, I guess, that I would know.
And I don't mean to throw them under the bus, because actually I think they'd all be pro Mein Kampf at RuPaul's bookstore, because they understand.
That would be interesting. Have you had that discussion yet?
No.
Okay. Do you plan to?
They're my friends, Brian. I don't talk to them. I will, though.
Yeah,
I can. I'm comfortable enough with most of them that I would ask. Well, but I think that's really important to like kind of give them a taste of their not a dose of their own medicine. This is purely an antidote.
Right. And so what I would love to happen that I'm sure will not is that RuPaul put his money where his mouth is as far as book bans are concerned. So I would love to see the other end of that spectrum also.
Like gay books.
Exactly. Or just
They definitely have those because he's hawking his own books.
Yeah, of course.
Like
I didn't think RuPaul would open a store to just sell Mein Kampf.
That would be punk.
That would be wild. That'd be punk rock.
I'd
right
be
there.
Like, he's going full Kanye.
Yeah.
Like he's burning RuPaul's, his bridges.
RuPaul's too smart to go full Kanye.
Way too smart. Way
but
too
he'll go a little Kanye.
Fiscally oriented.
And the fact that RuPaul's also building a bomb shelter in like Montana.
Oh, you read all that? It was a fantastic.
Yeah, I haven't finished it, but I did.
Did I send it to you?
You did.
Yeah, I got a New Yorker.
I've not had time.
I paid $4 for a New Yorker membership to read that fucking article.
That's cool.
I really do respect Rue, and he's terrifying. And
yeah, but and like, but you want your heroes.
Totally unapologetic about fracking is strange to me. I don't know. So I'd be like, of course I feel like shit about it, but girl, the money's good. And like, and then the internet would be like, respect, bitch, like, get that bag.
Wait,
but instead he was like, listen, you can't make the mob pleased with anything you say.
When did Rue?
Well, now they'll really be pissed.
Hold on. When did Rue?
In the same interview, Ronan Farrow asked RuPaul about the fracking. And Rue was like, there's no combination of words I could say to appease the mob. And I was like, well, that certainly wasn't a phrase that would appease the mob.
Yeah, I think just Rue's not interested in taking a stand for anyone to dissect. I just don't
think. Well, and like, and he's never pretended he wasn't a capitalist.
No. In fact, he's been very unapologetically capitalistic from day one. Because that was a survival mechanism, was to adapt in the world that you were handed. When poor Rue was coming up in the fucking 80s, handed a very dire set of cards. And how do you adapt? You fucking work the system best you can.
Not just did he adapt, he would resent you for even saying that he was handed that.
No, I just think anyone who...
Because he's such a girl boss.
No,
bitch,
sure.
That he's like, nope, nope.
Fair. I would respect myself, him for saying that. I just think we're all... One, I think we're all victims of karma, you know, of the cosmic existence in that way. But then...
Karma's your boyfriend.
I think if you're also checking off certain boxes of like, was it easier or harder to be a gay drag queen today or 40 years ago?
Right.
You know, I'll probably objectively say more
difficult. I mean, the kind of constitution one has to have to usher in this whole pop movement, cultural
frankly.
Movement
yeah.
is crazy. And political movement. And so, let him sell Mein Kampf. The gays once again missed the point by getting all upset about it.
Did they get all upset?
I'm sure some did.
I do appreciate that Rue is like, Rue being HBIC in so many ways, head bitch in charge, is
you surely didn't say what HBIC meant for me.
No, just okay. For the listeners.
I was like, I meant you. I taught you that.
I know, yeah. But I do feel like Rue is doing everything he can to sort of impart the knowledge and wisdom that they've gained over decades of like seeing cycles of ups and downs of this shit. And they're like, I see a truth that is beyond what our current politics are. And I need you guys to understand that as shocking as this is, I have a reason for doing this.
Yeah. I mean, he's centuries ahead in a lot of the ways he thinks.
Yeah. But it's also
like,
because
like to
yeah.
say that we're all God in drag. Mm-hmm. Like that's so potent. That I can't even apply that as like a libertine person out on these streets.
Right.
Like I'm still wearing a fucking black V-neck and black jeans literally right now. Just, yeah. But I understand what he's saying. He's like, put on a fucking suit. See what happens. Mm-hmm. Fuck around and find out.
Yeah.
So he's fucking around. He's finding out. I thought that was exciting. And I figured we'd like that because we love when Mein Kampf is sold at gay bookstores.
Because there's your episode title. We love when Mein Kampf. I cannot put Mein Kampf in an episode title, by the way.
Try it. What's the worst that'll happen? We'll get a few more listeners?
The wrong listeners.
Hey, guys. Next week, we're on Tucker Carlson.
We'd be so lucky.
I know. My mom would be like, I'm really upset. What time does the episode air?
Yeah, she'd eat it up. My mom would post about it. She'd be like, well, we may not agree with the politics of what this, you know, Tucker Carlson does. RBB is going to
really,
be on
Really, she'd preface
Fox.
It with that?
I don't even know.
No.
Probably not.
And you know what? I wouldn't need her to.
No. You don't need to preface anything.
Let her posting about you on Tucker Carlson be her Mein Kampf on her gay bookstore website.
In this scenario we've completely made up, it's like now I'm planning for it. I'm like, how do I break the news to my mom that we're on Tucker Carlson? Well, I think that's about it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's our time?
Bitch, we're at 52 minutes.
Get the fuck out of here. Let's go see that movie.
Let's go watch The Problemista. I've been... If y'all... Day one
Throwback.
Listeners... Day one listeners Deep know cut. When I got... basically cut out of this movie. I was one of the last people to get cut out when it premiered at South By, and I had a film badge, and I got there a fucking hour to hour and a half ahead of time and still got cut out. But a year in the making, it's here. It's finally been released, even through the fucking writer's strike this whole time.
And I had tickets to a screening of it at Outfest last year.
Right.
And I wanted to take Brian because I knew he couldn't get into the one at South By Southwest. And he was out of town.
And I was out of town.
So this is a long time coming, this cousinly moment that's about to happen. Guys, if it's showing your town, please go watch it. Tilda Swinton is great. Julia Torres is such an interesting writer. Isabella Rossellini is also in it.
Oh, great. Oh, can't wait.
It's a blast. I loved it. Also, don't forget, Andrew Lippa's The Wild Party. Showing at the Jack's Theater.
Starring me and Julian.
Starring Brian and Julian. Brian pointed out to me that this is the first time we've ever done a full-length play together.
It's true.
Which nearly made me shit my pants. Because I've been on stage with you a lot.
We've done a lot of musical reviews, a lot of showcases.
Hollywood Squares. The Gong Show.
Improv shows.
Just like these like 70s.
Yeah, yeah. I'd be so lucky.
I know.
Yeah. You know, improv shows and Spanx.
So see these cousins in person. Yeah. See this Guantanamo Bay energy ping off of us and back to the other.
In a 1920s, you know, style.
Romp. Yeah, I'll use it. Romp. I'll use the word romp.
It's a romp.
It's a romp.
It's called The Wild Party, for God's sakes. We'll give you more details.
It will be wild. It's March 24th to the 27th. That's Wednesday through Saturday, 8 p.m. at the Jack's Theater, which is in East Hollywood. I'm Julian Goza.
I'm Brian Bogart. We love you guys, and good night.